Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
That all the nations of the world say, "Whoa, what was that?" And the governors of Judah, that is to say the outlying areas, shall say in their heart, "The inhabitants of Jerusalem are my strength and the Lord of hosts their God." And in that day I will make the governors of Judah like a fire pan in a wood pile. Hey, should you put a fire pan in a wood pile? What's the answer? No, because what'll happen? It'll all catch fire. Or they're going to be like a fiery torch in the sheaves. They would harvest the stalks, tie them together in bundles called sheaves, and then they would dry out the grain and the fruit. Is it a good idea to light a match to a dry clump of grass? And they shall devour all the surrounding peoples on the right hand and on the left, but Jerusalem shall be inhabited again in, you might want to underline this, in her own place, geographically speaking, Jerusalem. You have the benefit of having lived after 1948. I can show you commentaries, Matthew Henry and some of these others that wrote before 1948. They said this, "Well, Israel is not in her land of Israel. They're scattered to the Russians, to East Europe, to Western Europe, and even to the United States." And the people who were good Bible teachers said, "We don't know how, we don't know when, but there will come a time when Israel will be in their land, and what will be her capital city?" Here it is in Zechariah. Is Israel in the land today? And is their capital Jerusalem? Your Bible. Verse 7, look at me, I was a semi-Bible thumper right there. Verse 7, "And the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, so that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall not become greater than that of Judah." In other words, it's going to be a nationwide, glorious, and supernatural deliverance that could be speaking of the battle of Psalm 83, and I believe it is certainly speaking of the battle of Armageddon. Verse 8, "And that day the Lord will defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem." God will supernaturally give the impressive military skills of David. Was he pretty good, you guys? Yeah, he could leap over walls. He took cities, he silenced God's detractors, and he ran at and killed giants. I wrote in my Bible, yeah, worshipers tend to do that. David was a worshiper. He wrote many of the Psalms that we sing. Verse 10. "And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and then they will look upon me." Who is the me here, everybody? Is your M in me capitalized? That's because the translators know exactly what the verse is saying. Who is the me here? It's Jehovah God. "They will look upon me, whom they pierced." Do you realize how amazing this is? 500 years before Jesus was born. The Bible is making an extraordinary claim that the God who created the heavens and the earth will be pierced. That's one of the reasons I know that the God of the Bible was not invented by humans. See, when humans invent a God, that God is typically somehow fashioned on humans and then occupies or has a lot of the attributes that humans wish they had. So supernatural strength, that's pretty cool. They're warrior-type cults, many of them. No human would ever come up with a God creating everything who would subject himself to human torture and treachery. Do you understand this is one of the glaring differences of the God of the Bible and the God of all those other religions that are out there? Your God, who created the heavens and the earth, who harnessed the power of suns and black holes and the greatest energies beyond description, zipped up a human suit and walked among people. Why? So he could smoke them, wipe them out, and squash them? To seek and save that which was lost. That's why I know the God of the Bible was not created by men. Every other religion in the world is, come on, you got to ascend the ladder of discipline and jump through all the hoops, the five pillars of the Quran, the whatever religion wants you to do, and then maybe, just maybe, God, if he's in a good mood, he just might like you a little bit. Versus, he would flick you off like a worm. And as you've heard me say before, and the psalmist tells us that God became a worm. I am like a worm, Psalm 22. That's astounding to me. Only biblical Christianity is the God who came down to my level. All the other religions, you better work to make righteousness. God says, there is no hope of righteousness. You need my righteousness. That's the gospel. Take all of your failings and everything that just wipes you out, give it to him, and in exchange for all your goo, he gives you eternal life and forgiveness and oceans of grace and mercy. No humans would have ever come up with that of their own. Wow. I will pour on the house of David, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplication, that when they look upon me whom they have pierced, they will mourn for me as one mourns for his only son, and grieve for him as one grieves for his firstborn. There's going to be a national, oh my, what have we done? Are you ready, Chris? Lower the lights here. Hold your finger here. Join me in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44. I'm going to show you, it's a little rabbit trail. I hope you enjoy it. Isaiah 44, look at this. Isaiah 44, verse 6. There is an interesting and peculiar way that God identifies himself. He has many names. His major name is Jehovah. And then he'll say, I'm Jehovah Rapha, the eternal existing one who heals you, etc. Look at verse 6. It's Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel. Notice your Lord is capital L, capital O, R indeed. You see that? This is Jehovah. Thus says Jehovah, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the, say it with me, first. And I am the, say it again with me, last. And besides me, there's not too many other gods. What does it say, everybody? And besides me, there is what? No other God. It also says that in Isaiah 41, verse 4, and Isaiah 48, verse 12. Look that up when you get a chance. But also write in your margin, Revelation 1, verse 17. Let's turn there. Let me show you something. Go to the book of Revelation, chapter 1. This will be helpful if there are some people who come to your door ring your doorbell. Usually you're in your bathrobe and you have a piece of something right here on your cheek and your cup of coffee is half done. That's when they come to your door. Hi, we're Bible students. And they're going to try to tell you that Jesus is not God. They have their proof and they'll dig out books, the emphatic diaglot and various other things, and the New World Translation. And they're trying to convince you that Jesus never said he was God. You'll say, watch this. You first take them to Isaiah 44, verse 6. I am the first, I am the last, and besides me there is what, everybody? No other God. Then you take them to Revelation chapter 1. Look at verse 17. Now, John sees somebody there on the beach in the island of Patmos. Verse 17. And when I saw him, this glorious creature, I fell at his feet and prayed as if I was dead. But he laid his right hand upon me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and I am the last. Right in your margin here, Isaiah 44, verse 6. Who is the only person, entity, who can claim that they are the first and the last? Who is that, according to Isaiah 44? Jehovah God. Now, verse 18. I am he who lives, look at this, and was dead. When was Jehovah God dead, everybody? You know, when Jehovah's Witnesses come to your house, there's usually an elder and then there's the apprentice. There's Obi-Wan and then there's the Padawan learner that goes along with him. So the learner is fresh out of Gilead's school of the Bible, and so he's got his verses memorized. And you show him Isaiah 44, verse 6, he thinks you're going to take him to Revelation 22, which effectively says the same thing. I am the first and I am the last. I was sitting with one time, and I said, would you read this for me? After 44, verse 6, now Revelation 1, verse 17, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his hand upon me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and I am the last. Stop there. You say, who is the only person who can say that? Jehovah God. Good. Now verse 18. And here's what he read back to me. I am he who lives, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I said, read it again. Okay. I am he who lives, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I got up and walked across the room, and I said, follow my finger. I am he who lives and was. He didn't see it. That freaked him out. And then I asked him, when was Jehovah God dead? And right here in your margin, Zechariah 12, verse 10. And they will look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced. When was Jehovah God pierced? Now go ahead and dim the lights. Let me show you something. This is right out of the Hebrew interlineary text. You'll see Hebrew on the top and the English translation on the bottom. You've already noticed it reads funny. Why is that? Because Hebrew is read from right to left. Okay? Now follow me. Look at the top. From the top, verse 9, it shall be in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. You follow me? And I will pour out on the house of David and on the inhabitants of Jerusalem grace of the Spirit of God and prayers, and they shall look upon me, zoom back, whom they have pierced. Go ahead and hit the go button. How come there are no English words under those two letters? You want to know what those letters are? Hit the go button. Hit the go button again. The one on the right, did you know that that is the first letter in the Jewish alphabet? It's Aleph. And what's the next letter? Go ahead. That's the last letter of the Jewish alphabet, Tau. Do you know how this verse should read? Go ahead. and the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the grace and the spirit and the prayers, and they shall look upon me, hit the go button, the Aleph and the Tau, whom they pierced. What is that doing in the Old Testament? As you saw, the Aleph and the Tau, that's the first and last letters of the Hebrew alphabet. What are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet which the book of Revelation was written in? The Alpha and the Omega. Contained in many places, not just Zechariah 12 verse 10, but also in Genesis 1 verse 1. In the beginning, God, Aleph Tau, the first and the last, created the heavens and the earth. Let's zoom to the end, verse 11. And in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem. Oh, they're like, what have we done? Like the mourning of Hadad-Rimon in the plain of Megiddo. You got to check out the story of 2 Chronicles chapter 35 that will tell you about good and the last godly king, Josiah, died in an ill-fated attempt. He didn't listen to the Lord like he should have. He follows the crowd. He gets involved against Pharaoh Necho at Carchemish, and he is wounded severely. He dies in the valley of Megiddo. How do you say that in Hebrew? Har Megiddo. How do you say that in English? Armageddon. The people mourned so bitterly, this last godly king became a proverb for mourning. And now let's zoom to the end. And the land shall mourn, every family by itself, when they realize, when they look upon me, whom they pierced. All of Israel is going to be saved. Did you know that? Paul tells us that in the book of Romans chapter 11. Is God done with Israel? Poses Paul's question. What's the answer? No! There is a blindness in part, but someday that blindness, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, that's the church. When it is raptured out, God returns his prophetic attention back to what nation? Israel. Zechariah is telling us about that event. And then when they do, Israel as a nation is going to go, oh my, what have we done? And the land shall mourn. Every family by itself, the family of the house of David by itself, their wives by themselves. These would be the kings and the ruling families. The families of the house of Nathan by itself. That would be all of the prophets. Verse 13, the family of the house of Levi by itself and their wives by themselves. That would be the priests. And the family of Shimei by itself and their wives. Who was Shimei? You have to check it out in the book of 2 Samuel 16. Do you remember when David is forced out of the kingship by his son Absalom? And everybody's saying, you're the king, just take up arms against him. And David says, if I'm supposed to be the king, God's going to keep me king. I'm not going to fight it. So he left voluntarily. And as he was leaving town, there's a fellow who picks up a bunch of rocks and throws them at King David. You know who that guy was? It was Shimei. You know what this is saying? All sections of Israel society will mourn bitterly, even the one-time detractors and false accusers. Verse 14, all the families that remain, and anybody else he hasn't mentioned, every family by itself and their wives by themselves. We're done with our section, but I want to leave you with this last understanding. Make your way over to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 5. If you have cheaters on your Bible, that's when it really helps. Hosea, and if someone next to you is having a hard time finding that, this is real important, everybody. I want to show you some more prophecy and we'll end here. Hosea chapter 5. Everybody have it? Here's the prophet Hosea, God speaking through the prophet Hosea. Look at this. Chapter 5, verse 15. I, says the Lord, will return again to my place. Where is God's place, everybody? It's heaven. He's going to return again to heaven. Question, when did God leave heaven? When he became a man and walked among us. I will return again to my place, heaven, until they, context being Israel, until Israel acknowledges their offense. Notice that the offense is singular. There is a singular offense that God is, as it were, holding against Israel. What do you suppose that would be? I wonder if it's their national rejection of Jesus, the Messiah. Then, when they acknowledge this offense, they will seek my face, and in their affliction, if you will, tribulation, they will earnestly seek me. I wrote in my Bible here, this is halfway during the Great Tribulation. Do you remember the story in Daniel chapter 3 of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And we all learned that, right? Remember Nebuchadnezzar made a big statue of gold, made everybody bow down and worship. And if anybody didn't worship, what happened? They got thrown into the fiery furnace. Three Jewish young men refused to worship that false idol. They get chunked into the furnace. And while the furnace is burning everything except them, what does everybody see walking around with them? One who looks like the Son of God. That is a picture. The three young men represent Israel. When do they see their Messiah? In the midst of the fiery furnace of the Great Tribulation. And this is Hosea also prophesying what we've just read in Zechariah. Now watch this. Chapter 6, verse 1. Come and let us return to the Lord, is what they're saying. For he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After, what? 2 days. Now remember, with the Lord, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, a day is as a 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. Could it be read? After 2,000 years, he will revive us, Israel. How long has it been since Israel has rejected her Messiah? It's been 2,000 years. And on the third day, the millennium, the last 1,000 year, the 7,000 years, and on that day, he, God, will raise us, Israel, up. One of the reasons why the devil goes after the nation of Israel so completely, whether it was the Nazis, whether it was the Caesars of Rome, whether it was the Spanish Inquisition, let's all stand. The reason why every despot who comes to power goes after the Jews, you know why? Because the devil knows they have one more prophetic assignment. And you know what that is? They call out to the Lord, we missed it, but now we know Jesus is the Messiah. And that's what prompts God to return to the earth, Revelation 19. That's why the devil wants to wipe Israel out. He's thinking, if there aren't any Jews, there can't be a Hosea 5 verse 15. And I win. Let me ask you, are there Jews alive? Hallelujah! And is there an Israel with Jerusalem as their capital? Yes. Let's pray. I've said it before, but whenever I'm bumming out and in my humanness, sometimes I wonder if you're watching because of my struggles. All I have to do is get a globe or a map, and there it is. The nation of Israel.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.